From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. During the Civil War, African Americans were not considered citizens of the United States. Despite this, 353 black men from Wisconsin fought in the Civil War as Union soldiers. One highly regarded Wisconsin soldier was John Wales Jefferson, whose birth name was Hemings. Ring a bell? He was the grandson of President Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings, a slave owned by Jefferson. John Wales Jefferson enlisted in the U.S. Army in Madison in 1861 and commanded Wisconsin's 8th Infantry, fighting in the Battle of Vicksburg and the Siege of Corinth. The red-haired Jefferson kept his African ancestry a secret. I continue my conversation with Wisconsin Black Historical Society Executive Director Claiborne Benson, who talks about Wisconsin's United States Colored Troops.
There is the 29th F Company, and 29th F Company was the unit was born out of Illinois, but many of the soldiers to fill that roster came from the state of Wisconsin, and that was very important. And we view that as our regiment. And some of the roster of the people who fill that roster replace white citizens who paid the $300 that it took to keep them out of the war so that they wouldn't have to fight in the Civil War or register. And that was the fee for avoiding it. And there were people who were willing to do that on their behalf. But by and large, the 29th F Company was a regiment that was representing African Americans from this area. And again, they became really active in the 1864 period, that last 2 years or year and a half, when the many of the white soldiers had just had enough. Rightly so. They had gone through, my interpretation, hell, having fought the Civil War and Gettysburg and various other battles throughout the South that needed new blood in there. And African Americans who recognized after the passing of the Emancipation Proclamation that if they were going to be free, they needed to pay the price to be equal citizens, and that meant for them fighting. And there were some battles that they fought in, especially in Virginia, the Cradle Battle, where they dug this huge hole and tried to put explosions under to blow out the Confederates. And the 29th was actively involved in that one. And so that was very important. And the other unit was not an African Americans, but prior to talking about the other unit, I wanted to say to you that there was that period between 1860 and 1864 when African Americans all over the state, and they were all over the state, especially in the western part of the state, enlisted in whatever unit that was close to them, and they became active. I mean, so it wasn't like a special regiment. They, many of the units had small numbers but integrated. So the African Americans were in whatever unit they were, the 8th, they were in the 14th, they were in whatever unit they wanted to be in just simply by enlisting. And then finally, we had John Jefferson, who commanded the 8th Wisconsin, and they worked out of Madison, practiced at Randall Field, and that's where the military training section was. And he ended up in the Tennessee Vicksburg area where they fought for that siege around Vicksburg. Was wounded twice there and highly revered as a terrific commanding officer and liked. Was an African-American. And there's a picture of him on the State Historical Society site, as well as Wisconsin Black Historical Society, and in the library of the State Historical Society, and also in the library, if I'm correct, in West Bend, the genealogy section in the library.
And Jefferson was well respected in the community. What about The African-American soldiers who went and fought, when they came back, did they receive due respect?
I think more like every other soldier. I mean, I think that people were pretty proud about the contribution of African-Americans who fought. I mean, this state clearly wanted to celebrate the Emancipation Proclamation and those people who made that sacrifice. In the 1915 anniversary of the Civil War, 1863 and 1915, African-Americans were, those who fought were recognized that this was a very special time and that we wanted to give honor to those people who migrated, who came up here. So, yes.
Claiborne Benson is the executive director of the Wisconsin Black Historical Society. I talked with him about the 353 African-American soldiers from Wisconsin who fought in the Civil War. Robinson is the descendant of two African-American soldiers. Her great-great-grandfather enlisted in the Union Army in Janesville, Wisconsin. Her great-grandfather served on the Confederate and Union armies, then moved to Waukesha after the war.
Well, you can sit in this middle chair.
Okay. I recently met with Robinson at her home in Brown Deer. Sitting at her dining room table, she goes through a giant scrapbook of documents and photos that have been passed down in her family. She talks about her ancestors and reads me various clippings from the book.
John J. Valentine was my great-great-grandfather, and he lived in Janesville, Wisconsin. He enlisted in the Union Army in 1865 in Camp Randall at Madison, Wisconsin. He served for 2 years, and he was discharged on disability, January 15, 1865. He lived then in Milton Junction. And then he came to Waukesha in 1871, and he lived there until he died. People called him Uncle John. My mother and the rest of them called him Grandpa Valentine. He had a restaurant called Uncle John's Restaurant in Waukesha, and he also had another place that he managed called the Valentine House. They lived on Madison Avenue. He had two homes on Madison Avenue, I believe. One was like in the middle of the hill, the other was up on top of the hill. I remember as a child visiting the one in the middle of the hill where my grandparents and great-grandfather lived until he died.
Do you know if he ever saw battle, or was he just enlisted?
I don't know.
Because the records are so scattered.
Yes.
From then.
I'm not sure what that is.
So he was a private. He served on the 17th United States Colored Volunteer Infantry.
Here's his volunteer enlistment form. I, John J. Valentine, born in the state of South Carolina, aged 42, and by occupation a cook, do hereby acknowledge to have volunteered this 14th day of February, 1863, to serve as a soldier in the Army of the United States of America for the period of 1 year, unless sooner discharged by proper authority, do also agree to accept such bounty, pay rations, and clothing as are or may be established by law for volunteers. And I, John J. Valentine, do solemnly swear that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the United States of America, and that I will serve them honestly and faithfully against all their enemies or opposers whomsoever, and that I will observe and obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me, according to the rules and articles of war. Sworn and subscribed to at Janesville this 14th day of February, 1863, John J. Valentine.
It's so incredible you have all this.
This is my great-grandmother's and aunt's hair shop. They didn't call them beauty shops, they called them hair shops then. In Waukesha. It was one of the first. And my great-grandfather, Arthur Reese, had the first barbershop in Waukesha. Okay, there he is. He died in 103.
So it says he was a slave, and he also served in the Confederate and Union armies. Okay. Do you know why he was part of the Confederate Army?
No. But I don't really know where that came from. My mother says, she's 94, she says that she remembers him telling her that he was a free man and that he joined the Confederacy as a free man, was captured, and then joined the Union Army. So I don't have anything sure that says one way or the other. This is his another obituary for my great-grandfather. It just says that he joined the Confederate Army at Charlestown, when he was 15, and was with General Lee's cavalry when it was defeated by Colonel Putney. It was then that he was assigned to Colonel Putney's regiment as his orderly. And from that time on, he served with the Union Army until the end of the war. Then came to Waukesha with Colonel Putney, where he made his home for a number of years. He also lived for a while at the home of Mr. and Mrs. Kendrick. On February 10th, 1875, he married Orsa Valentine, that's John Valentine's daughter. They were married by Reverend Sam Barstow, brother of Wisconsin's Governor William A. Barstow, who was also a former Waukeshaan. Colonel Putney and Captain John Howell were the witnesses. Mr. Reese and his family are well known to many Waukeshaans. For 50 years, he operated the Green Reese Barbershop on Grand Avenue. His wife operated Waukesha's first beauty shop on Clinton for 37 years. Later, it was operated by their daughter, Mrs. Harry Smith, now deceased. Mr. Reese served as a sexton at the Baptist Church for 12 years and was active at the time the old Baptist Church was moved into the new building. At the time of his death, he was the oldest member of the First Baptist Church, having joined it when he came here during post-Civil War period. He survived. He is also believed to be the oldest barber in the state. Mr. Reese was continually employed until he reached the age of 92.
There he is.
An article of him.
It says he enlisted in the Confederate Army in 1855. And he served with General Robert E. Lee's cavalry, caring for mules and horses, till Lee was defeated by Putney.
Mm-hmm. Now, here it says, no insignia to indicate status. Blacks were not allowed to enlist on either side until well into the war. But my mother has absolutely nothing that says that he was slave or free, just something that we don't know.
Is there any record about John Valentine? Was he ever a slave?
All I know is just what we have there, and I don't know that there was anything to indicate that he was.
So what does it mean to you to have all this information about your family?
I think it's wonderful to have it all and to be able to share it with my children, my grandchildren. Two of my granddaughters have used the information in PowerPoint presentations at school and got good marks on them too. It means a lot to me to know where we came from and what kind of people we came from. And proud to be part of it.
As you were saying, your mother held on to a lot of these documents.
My mother kept a lot of these documents, and as did my cousin, my mother's cousin, Vita. If you put them all together, we've got quite a bit of history, family history, going back to the mid-1800s in Wisconsin. Don't find very many African-American families who can say that.
Did you ever meet your great-grandfather, Arthur Reese?
Yes.
And can you talk about what he was like?
Well, I was still quite young when he died. I only remember that he sat in a chair, wore this green celluloid visor, had this very white hair, big beard, mustache, I mean. Usually out of a vest of some kind, and he carried a cane, and he would kind of shoo you away from him with the cane. Didn't talk a lot. I don't remember. He wasn't the kind of person you sit on his lap and he'd tell you stories or something. Not to indicate that he wasn't kind, and he was nice enough. It's just that he was old and he didn't want you to step on his feet, and so he kind of kept you at bay. But at the same time, he was watching us. He was, we were outside playing, and he was watching us. So I remember that about him.
What about the stories that your mother tells about him?
Well, we always kind of use that as a joke. He said that he was raised by gypsies. And we didn't know. My mother didn't know whether that was something he was telling you, or whether he really was.
And I just want to get your thoughts on African Americans' role within the Civil War. Your great grandfather and your great great grandfather fought. What do you think about that?
I guess I'm not sure. I'm happy that they served, and that they were both fine. I get the impression from the things that you read that they weren't treated very well. In fact, I know they weren't. So that kind of makes me sad that you're allowed to do the things that other people can do to support your country, and still you're not treated like a citizen. But they lived through it. They weren't bitter, so I'm not.
Pat Robison of Brown Deer talks about her ancestors, Wisconsin's African-American soldiers who served in the Civil War. Americans fought in the Revolutionary War and the War of 1812, but were not allowed to fight in the Civil War until its later years, 1862 or 1863. UW La Crosse Professor Emeritus Bruce Mauser explains.
There was a time at the beginning of the Civil War when Lincoln's objective was to bring unification and was not to liberate slaves, although he was an abolitionist. He believed that too. But the primary goal was to keep states from joining the Confederacy. And there was Delaware, which had slaves, and there was Kentucky, had slaves, Missouri had slaves, yet those three states did not join the South. So in order to keep them into the Union, at the beginning of the war, there was no attempt to sell this notion that the war was going on to free the slaves. Instead, it was for simply unification. At that time, the policy of government was not to bring any blacks into the military, because if you bring the black into the military, then that recognizes them as a person, a real person, and that would perhaps alienate Kentucky and Delaware or Maryland and Missouri. And if those states withdrew from the Union, the Union could have lost the war, just pure and simple. So for the beginning of the war, there was no attempt to recruit. So even those blacks in Wisconsin who wanted to join the Union Army or the Union Navy were not permitted to do so until Lincoln decided that the only really punishment he could give the South was to tell them simply, if you come back into the Union, you can keep your slaves. But if you stay out of the Union, we will liberate them. That's the Emancipation Proclamation. Most people don't know that was that little twist in there. So when the Emancipation Proclamation actually took place, those slaves in Kentucky and Missouri were not freed because they were in the Union. So there was this delicate thing that happened in the Civil War of recruiting blacks when they should not have been recruited at all. Now, very often you have people in the North said, you know, we're liberating the blacks, let the blacks fight for themselves. Well, it was a policy of war. We had to keep Kentucky and Missouri in the Union. And you did that by not freeing their slaves. Now, at the end of the war, the 13th Amendment of the Constitution did free the slaves. But that time, however, Kentucky had basically, they could read the writing on the wall and they got rid of their slaves. The same thing with Missouri.
Bruce Mauser is a professor emeritus at UW La Crosse. Listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes Steve Roysom, Mary Meehan Strube, John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau, as well as network news from Wisconsin Public Radio and NPR. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse.